to 200, and it is starting.
Seems everybody else is flying through there except for one guy that slows everybody down.
Yeah, you do it the other way, it always works, especially the drive throughs.
Yeah, right. So they on a light mist or something, they cover up. I've seen them cover up the concrete and that, but and then it needs 24 or 48 hours secure there, doesn't it?
Depends on the mixture. To set can be a mixture. You can have a mixture that sets in like 2 hours, 3 hours. But to cure is 7 days minimum. 7 days you're at 60% of the cure, which is then safe to walk on and whatnot. At 12 days you're at 90%, and you never get it 100%. People don't realize it, but concrete is never 100% cured.
Oh, really? Okay, that's cool.
Yep, the best you get is 99.9%. Never a total 100, because there's no matter what you do, there's always some moisture in the concrete.
Yeah, there would be in that because constant heating and cooling in that, it'd never fully cure in that. That makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, but yep, it's never 100%.
I take they're putting the forms in and everything, they're going to be pouring on Monday and that. How long will the job be after that?
Then you've got a day of backfill around the edges of the curbs, and while they're doing that, they'll have the electrical in to put in the and the poles to put in the crosswalk flashing ambers. So you're looking at 1, maybe 2 days.
Okay. And then that's safe to say that too. That's perfect. And they have to offer you guys that for doing what you do there and that. I mean, that's for the city to step forward and that and actually do it.
Well, what can I say? Politicians always trying to find money in their own put money in their own pockets and never really wanting to spend it for anybody else.
Yeah, but for something like that, that'd be like a good news story kind of thing. And that for the politician and that, if you turn around and say, hey, you know what, we realize what happened and stuff like that, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to go jump through all of the red tape and everything else, and it's going to get done right away. I mean, I think the voters alone would probably appreciate that a lot more, and that would probably go a lot farther.
Yeah, well, to be quite blunt, we don't want the publicity. We're not doing it for that, so we don't want the publicity on it. We just want to get it done.
No, I do realize that. I do realize that. But I'm going to say, as for a politician and that, he could have used that to... Well, his advantage, I guess, right? Because I guess he would need something like that.
Yep, I agree with you. They could have, would have, should have, but didn't.
I think they missed it. He missed an opportunity on that one there, and hats off to you guys for doing what you guys have done in that. And that just have to go unnoticed and everything, which is, yeah. So, but I mean, that's, you guys know exactly what you guys did and what it's done for in that. So hats off.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that, and I'll pass that along to the rest of the group of companies involved.
Hey, hear about contractors. Those contractors that tore down the, what is it, east wing of the White House there. Sounds like they're going to have a lot of health problems in that there.
Oh, I haven't been keeping up with that. I've been too busy. Why? What's up?
Well, he went and bypassed everybody in that, and basically all of a sudden these contractors showed up and they tore down the east wing of the White House. Well, it was all full of asbestos and that, and they said there was like big clouds of dust and that and everything, and the fibers that when they were tearing it down. And because he used non-union people in that, he didn't go through to get all and dispose of it all properly in that. So now there's a big thing on the health implications that on possibly what those guys are going to have to go through now.
Oh, I wasn't aware of the asbestos angle. I knew that they were demolishing part of it and putting in a ballroom, which has sorely been needed, but I wasn't aware of the rest of it.
Well, think of how fast that all of a sudden they just showed up there and that, but none of the safety precautions or anything else was done. So, those guys, you imagine having that sitting over your head kind of thing?
Roger that. Well, I imagine with the purse strings are big enough, I imagine it'll be looked after. The one thing that I did know is that a lot of people were complaining, waste the taxpayers' dollars, but it's not, because he's paying for it himself out of his pocket.
Well, the only reason why I brought that up and that was because my dad worked for Hydro, and they were, this is years and years and years ago, back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, late 80s, and they were tearing down one of the Hydro sites, and that's what he's dealing with right now, is the after effects of the asbestos net, so he's starting to get a lot of that filled up in his lungs now.
My sympathies go out to you and your dad there, but... Yeah, that's nasty stuff. Nasty stuff.
Oh, it is. Because sitting back in the 60s, 70s, and so on, and that when they were using that, it was at the time they really. I don't think they really knew. But yeah, it is pretty nasty stuff in that. And I'd say if you got a house that, like my house was built in '84, and that you get those popcorn ceilings, stuff like that. And that it's stuff, the compound, the popcorn ceilings is where that stuff is too, and that, so you gotta be very careful with the stuff.
Yep. It's amazing how many things are out there that can bite you.
Yeah, and as they being in the industry and that, and how careful things are, I mean, as if you want to tear anything down now and that, you gotta get everything tested and that, and if the asbestos got to be bagged up and then it gets buried at the bog and stuff like that, right? So yeah, it's quite an ordeal.
Yep, that's why I love log homes. You don't have any problems with that, and because the logs themselves are the insulation.
No, that's right. Yep. So, I mean. Yeah, it's quite surprising that when I start hearing all that, I'm like, wow, okay. But hey, on a brighter note, it's your Friday and my Tuesday, and traffic's actually pretty light.
Yeah, I'm just coming off the west side of the Port Man, so yeah, it's been moving pretty good.
Oh, I'd just be glad, because yesterday when I was on my way home at about 3:30. About 3:45, I was stuck on the United Boulevard trying to get onto the on ramp onto Highway 1 to go over the Port Man. We were doing 4 kilometers.
Yep, I can believe that. I've been stuck in that kind of stuff too. Yeah, yesterday I took a look at the map at 6 a.m. and it said it was a 3 hour and 40 minute drive into Vancouver at that point because of traffic. I'm like, yeah, glad I wasn't in that.
Traffic, especially on Highway 1, westbound, eastbound, and that out by 264 is in that. And it used to be, it's not like rush hour anymore, it's rush 24 hour now, and that. It's always backed up in either direction there.
Yep. Oh, we're going to fix it. Yeah, well, there's going to be a 2-year-long or 3-year-long project. I don't see why it's going to take that long. And during that time, they don't pay any attention to just how badly they're screwing it up while they're working.
I was listening to the radio yesterday, and one guy did make a good point, and that is, you know what, they're doing all that now and that, right? But they're still going to be a lane short because they're like 10, 20 years behind. So, right, I mean, yeah, they put it in, it might relieve a little bit, but we're going to be right back where we are now. And that it seems like, you know, just put the lanes in and just be done with it.
Yep, well, that's where you come in with the oxymoron of government intelligence, you know?
That's true.
Guys are noisy this morning.
Sorry, Aura. We'll try and keep it a little quieter in that. Do apologize.
No, I'm enjoying the conversation. Hey, I didn't know that concrete is not 100% cured. Isn't that something? I learned something new today, Charles.
Ah, well, glad you picked something up there, Merlin. Yep. Never is 100% because there's always going to be some moisture in it.
Very interesting. Carry on, guys. Okay, I know where you are, Charles. You're by the Highway 1, and I don't know where he is, but you're both doing good signals on the big input. Big Roger Dodger. Carry on.
Yeah, I'm just going under Burnett Avenue.
And I'm on Marine Drive, going to be heading a boundary here pretty quick.
For bottom of Marine, you're doing really good. You're about 25 over, so nothing wrong with that on the input.
Yeah, this little radio on that, it keeps surprising me in that. One of the first radios I've picked up in that, and it does pretty good for a little 25-watt radio.
That's all you need, 25 watts, little 5/8 antenna, and it worked really well. Okay, carry on, guys. You guys are almost at your destination. I don't want to hold up your queue, so I'm just having my coffee. 7-3, be careful.
Yeah, enjoy your coffee, Merlin. I'm about to crack the seal on my Timmy's here in the truck. I just haven't had time to open it yet, so we'll do that. Do that and start having mine on the way in.
Well, you're not that far from where you got. Well, you technically are in that because you got to go on the other side of Vancouver there.
Yep, Grandview Highway, which is turns into 12th to Fur up to 16th, hang a right, and then over to Lord Bing Secondary.
Yeah. So. I just go around the corner and up the hill now. Well, that's gonna be fun. I had it out with a concrete wall yesterday, and I broke the rear bolt on one of my tie-down shackles. So I asked the shop to put it in, crank the bolt all the way through, so instead of putting a bolt and then another nut, and then leaving a space, and then putting the shackle on, and then putting a nut on the other end, so it kind of flops around when there's nothing on it. They put the bolt all the way through, cracked it, and cranked it all the way down, and I can't use the shackle because I can't move it.
Oh, not good. Yeah, when you argue with concrete, you usually lose.
Yeah, it was either that or a front of a guy's truck, and that was a little too far out in that, so, like, you know what, I broke the bolt, not a big deal. And, but you think over here that the mechanic would go take a look at the one on the front and kind of go, okay, that makes sense. But nope, put the bolt all the way through, put the nut on and crank the whole thing all the way down. I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah, well, some, trying to save a, trying to, how would I put it, trying to save